So today I have Ted Aslanidis, our Vice President of Operations and Delivery, with me. Welcome back to the Coffee Cast.
Hey, Ted. It's glad to be back, Steve.
So it's been a long time since we've done a Coffee Cast, so I thought let's try and get back into the groove of it, come up with some topics, and have a good cup of coffee. So
sounds good.
Maybe you should introduce yourself.
So I'm Ted Aslanidis. I'm VP of Operations and Delivery for Project X. So I support Stephen and Graham in terms of leadership of the company, and also the project managers and business analysts all report into me. But we are actually quite a collectively come together to manage and lead the team.
Well, I guess when you're a matrix organization, you lead from the front, the back, the middle, the side, whatever it is.
That's right. And we're too small and intimate to be creating too many divisions and lines within the organization.
Cool. Well, that's a good segue to one of the first topics, the new office space.
Yes, which we're sitting in right now. It's pretty exciting, actually.
Yes. So for 11 years, we've been working and lucky enough to have clients let us work out of their office space. And now we are with our own. 4120 Yonge Street, Suite 215. Come on by for a coffee.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your part of the experience of what we're going through. And
well, I think it's funny. We spent a lot of time thinking about office space and where it should be and so on. And really, really important to the decision was being at a place where transportation is easy in terms of access for everybody. So we have access to the subway, we're close to the 401, right on Yonge Street, so we looked at a whole bunch of different places and finally kind of came on this one. And actually, it's fantastic space and a fantastic location, but really the most important thing was setting up somewhere where people could have access to the place. So that's cool, and we're successful in that, so I'm super jazzed.
Yeah, but now we're having to learn about installing our own hardware instead of hardware for clients, and our own internet.
Yes.
And infrastructure, and
yeah, and deal with all those things in a server room with no power and all that kind of stuff, which you don't necessarily think about. But it's almost like, you know, when you move into your first house, when you've been renting an apartment and everything's taken care of for you, and then you move into your first house and you have to like put window dressings on and, you know, saw the lawn and all those kinds of things. All of a sudden you feel like you're grown up and you have to, you know, take responsibility for stuff.
Yeah, but it's a great opportunity because it's really about trying to bring everybody back together from the disparate spots of the universe that they all seem to work in. And so we've had some fun with some contests or other ways to try and get everybody involved, like choosing the paint colors that went on the wall. Just before this coffee cast, we were talking about a contest we're running to name one of our boardrooms. You know, putting stuff on the walls and trying to make it look like your own makes you, review your core values and what do you stand for and what's your theme. And I mean, luckily, no one's asked me if I was a race car, what race car I'd be.
Yeah.
But, it's really quite interesting and people are getting involved and quite fun.
Yeah. And just being out at client sites, people are actually quite excited. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, when can we see the new office? And I've said, you know, it's available. You can come anytime. And so we're planning a social event to bring everybody together. But there's no restriction as to when people can come. That's open to anybody. It's just everyone, you know, is super busy helping out our clients and focused on delivery.
Yeah, so very interesting, very exciting time. We've had a lot of growth and we're still looking to grow more. So it's nice to have a little bit of roots, and that's kind of cool. And
the thing that I found a little bit ironic was when we were looking at the space, we thought, oh, this is way more space than we need. And then I think Anne did a layout and looked at the space and assigning some, you know, people into tentative locations. And we realized, holy cow, we've grown already to the point where, you know, we're going to fill this space when people are in here. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So what else do you want to talk about? I mean, that's pretty exciting for us, but for the outside world, what would you like to talk about today? We were talking about what's kind of new and hip, and so we'll have some other topics for a little bit later, but I don't think we're properly prepared for.
Yeah. I think some of the cool stuff that's going on in the Internet of Things space and the connected world, things like self-driving cars and Uber self-driving vehicles. I know personally, given that I spend a lot of time commuting, I would love to have a self-driving vehicle or someone driving me in on a daily basis so I could actually be productive or catch a few more Z's on the drive. That would be very, very good for me.
So as a data and analytics company, what does that have to do with what we're talking about, what that we do? So let's deconstruct it. So the really interesting thing is if you take just the disruption of one part of that, let's just say the driverless car, autonomous car, that means now you can work while you're in the car. You can commute farther. You could do a whole bunch of other things, and that's the opportunities. So it's going to create a whole new dynamic of being able to find a way to properly be able to understand the change in demographics, where the layout of people are. I mean, we've done some really interesting work with telcos and other organizations, retailers around location and location of people and how you can start interacting with them once you know where they are or you start to get profiles and things like that. But that's one side of it. The other side is the security, the safety, and just the volume of sheer data that's going to be created by one single car, let alone hundreds of thousands of cars in a big city.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you think about it, right? So you talked a little bit about what the benefits are, right? As a consumer, I get excited because I think, oh, I don't need to actually be holding the steering wheel and driving and so on, right? So it's a big change for me. But as a consumer, you don't realize everything that goes into it. And one of the things through my experience with Project X that I've really gotten a great awareness of is how much work and how much attention to detail goes into anything related to data, right? And you think of a self-driving vehicle, all the different pieces of technology that have to come together, right? So you've got your wireless network that needs to be working flawlessly and be able to communicate. You've got your global positioning technology that's got to work. And then you've got to have all that data coming forward and being processed in real time in order to be able to identify the position of the vehicle, all the different things that are happening with that vehicle, vehicles all around, other activities, pedestrians, red lights, and so on and so forth. And all that data has to come together, be trusted and reliable, and then processed in a way that the vehicle can actually make decisions at the same speed or faster than we as humans do ourselves and take for granted. So, you know, it really is amazing. And at the heart of it is data, data processing and data quality. And this is an amazing application of what the technology has taken us to at this point.
So you talked about a couple of things in there. You talked about the data and the process. So I was in a conversation with a client 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about the nature of the change of data in enterprises, where in the world of analytics, it used to be, I'm just going to run my analytics system. And if the analytics system was down for 3 hours a day, it was not the end of the world. We could go on, right? Even if it's your enterprise data warehouse, your business, like, no one's going to die, your operations aren't going to end. With the world of predictive analytics and this change of having data go from any analytics tool, whether it's an EDW-based one or, in this case, the autonomous car, that data feeds in and closes the loop. If that data is wrong when it's coming out and it feeds back in to tell and readjust directions or thoughts or whatever it is, then you're dead. Like, it's going to be a big problem. Well, we're finding the same thing from enterprise. The world of their analytics and their data they really no longer can have it so that their enterprise data environments are off. They're 7/24, whether it's because they're loading all the time, whether they've got people across multiple time zones, geography, global supply chains, all those things. So this little analogy of the autonomous car is a really small version of this massive ecosystem. Even if you think about, one of the things I always wonder about, the problem with autonomous cars isn't the autonomous cars, it's the people that don't have autonomous cars. And so in my analogy to data, you've got an autonomous car, that's governed data. So you spent a whole bunch of time making it so that it's going to be perfect. You said data accuracy and all the process flows and all that stuff. But you have ungoverned data, the guy who's driving their sports car that drives good for the experience, not for the convenience. And all of a sudden, how do you deal with that cowboy? Well, in our world of data and enterprise architecture, it's really quite similar in terms of what that can do to an organization when it goes wild. So when I think about these things, they're really interesting, very specific ones, but they make you think about stuff that lives in our world quite dramatically.
Right. So if we could just transform instantaneously, like do a big bang deployment, and everyone all of a sudden is driving self-driving vehicles, then that would be perfect. You would actually have, you know, if the networks talk to each other and protected all the vehicles from each other, then that would actually be a wonderful utopia.
So it's funny, the people building these cars and testing them all across the world are probably as much worried about how they manage the do not touch part of the other people as much as the cars and them driving and being aware or being broken into and having them taken over by malicious security stuff. But again, that all that data cycle is what all of our enterprise clients are dealing with.
Yeah.
Just in some cases for them more important or less important or faster, slower, whatever it is.
Yeah. And the reliability piece is really, really important, right? As you think about it, yeah, this is mission critical. It's life or death and so on. I remember once an analogy where Bill Gates, I think, had made a comment that said that if, you know, vehicles had progressed the same way that computer science had progressed, we'd have vehicles driving at, you know, 1,000 miles an hour and so on and so forth. And then I think the head of GM at the time responded back and said, yeah, but then if they were like computers, then all of a sudden your vehicle would stop and need to be rebooted at any given time and you'd need to call the help desk to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting analogy.
So there is one other really interesting thing about the future in this testing out of these autonomous cars and things like that is that it's about how they're doing it. So in our world of IT, we've talked about many different types of things that are going on. And one of the things is if you watch about how they're prototyping, I mean, they've obviously done a lot of research and doing stuff, but they're really in modern worlds and not knowing how long it took them to get to here, doing a lot of what we would call POC prototyping, getting it out, trialing it, and doing it in a small way to make it so that they're ready. And I know last week or the week before, Uber did their big launch with Ford in Pittsburgh, I think it was. So it'd be very interesting to see. But again, as we look at those analogies of trying to be agile and taking lessons across multiple industries, and the reason I like talking about these things as it relates to what we do is Dean Kamen, the guy who invented the Segway, talked about when you're trying to break through something, having cross-industry expertise and people that know and may not be perfect in your industry brings a lot of value into different ways of thinking and stuff like that. So it's always kind of fun to push the limits and look at something and then say, how could I learn from that in our industry?
Yeah, actually, it is interesting because quite often you find innovation comes when multiple technologies or new things come together, right?
Yep.
So an industry could be stagnant for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden a new innovation comes that you wouldn't have thought of, but it's tangential, but it becomes the enabler that allows that industry or that product or that technology to move forward. I've always found that fascinating. I remember actually a TV show called Connections, where you would see that, and it would be things like clock building, became stagnant until all of a sudden there was progression in the forging of steel, and all of a sudden the springs were so much better, and then clock making became, you know, went through a new revolution and things like that. So the same thing is happening with big data and the Internet of Things, right? So the availability of the data through the sensors, and then all of a sudden the capability of processing the data at speed, at volume, and the variety of data coming together, and then all of a sudden you have a new killer app like Waze, right?
The paradigms are shifting. I mean, and you're right. It's about very different things, and people really having very far forward thinking, or just learning how to experiment.
Yeah.
Right. I remember having conversations with some folks at one of the big retailers in the U.S., and they said they have a group that just takes all their corporate data and looks at it, tries to find ways to experiment. No specific path or plan, but they're looking for things. And that's pretty interesting. And you're seeing that, you know, a Google who makes so much money off of search at the beginning, taking that money and reinvesting it into a whole bunch of different things with all their lab stuff and all their products. And very interesting to see how that model works.
Yeah. And it's, that ability to do some trial and error, to give your people a little bit of freedom to actually do some experimentation, right? And there's obviously the classic example is 3M, which always had sort of that motto of, you know, a certain percentage of any technical person's time is in trying out new projects, and a whole bunch of innovation has come through that. Same thing is going on in a lot of tech, where people are given a certain percentage of their time to try new things. There are companies run contests to, at the end of the week, have a contest to see who's produced the most interesting thing, and it can be totally off the wall and so on. And people get really invested in those and get all excited about them. And Google is the same way, right? They have a philosophy of try it, fail fast, learn from it, and decide if you're going to kill that and take the learnings and move on to something else, or if there's real value in that business.
Yeah. I mean, we find even ourselves with the AWS cloud, right? So we're doing a lot of stuff with clients and doing things where you want to roll out, try something out, throw it in the cloud. If it doesn't work, you kill it. You didn't have to spend a lot of money on infrastructure. There's a whole bunch of tools in everybody's toolkits that all these startups are using that probably we don't even know about because we're too old. Right, like it's really quite interesting.
Yeah, another example of the availability of a technology that enables further innovation. Right, so the AWS cloud gives you the opportunity to do that agile prototyping. Right, that innovation incubation and try things out in a scalable, easy way. Without it, you've got a whole bunch of other barriers and costs that you got to deal with to ramp up and ramp down.
Yeah. Kind of fun when we think about looking into the future. Are we making steps, creating new opportunities? You know, all of this stuff. One of the reasons we have the office is hoping to get everybody together to look at new ways to innovate and try new things and do things differently and have a different type of synergy and things like that. So, Ted, thank you for joining us for this episode. It's been a while since I've done one, so I appreciate you being the guinea pig.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. It was fun.
All right, cheers, guys. For more information about Project X, please join us on our website at www.pxltd.ca or hop on our blog and join in the conversation at pxltd.typepad.com. This is a copyright of Project X Limited. Thank you for joining us today.